Wow. Thank you for having me. That I was not anticipating such a brief forward or preface, but no, thank you, Megan, for having me. Thank you. Thanks everyone for having me. My name is Matt. I'm an addict and alcoholic. I'll give a little background, my story. I live in New Jersey right now. I was born in New York, but grew up in a suburb of New York, in New Jersey, called Maplewood, New Jersey. I have one sibling. I have a sister, younger sister. I grew up in a normal, relatively normal situation. I had both my parents married. They were married for 16 years prior to me being born, and I was the firstborn. On the surface, everything was fine. I didn't want for anything. I grew up very financially comfortable. But starting from when I was, sorry, I'm just making sure my mic, oh, here. I apologize. I have a headphone in and I was like realizing it's coming through my computer. Ever since I was, as far as my memory goes back, 3 or 4 years old, I have just been profoundly uncomfortable. Growing up, I didn't know what I was feeling. I didn't know how to express it, obviously, because that was the only world and the only way I knew how to experience this world. But looking back, just constant anxiety and constant rumination, just unwanted thoughts and obsessive thoughts. It would manifest in different ways, hypochondria, a bunch of things. And while, my parents were married and we did well, we were financially comfortable earlier in my life, there were some unhealthy ways of dealing with emotions. Emotions weren't ever validated or kind of, they were discussed constantly, but it was never done in a healthy way. It was always done. I would have a fight. I'm very much like my mother, and we would have a fight like almost every day, like a volatile, not physical, but just very, screaming back and forth. And that's kind of how I learned to cope growing up. We'd fight with each other and then immediately try to brush it over or to try apologize, but not really grounded in real apology, just so we didn't have to feel terrible, just to try to kind of alleviate the pain of that situation. And so anyway, school, socially, things were difficult. I was, easily distracted. I didn't know how to focus in school. So my grades were never that great until later on, prior to college, because my back was against the wall. That gave me the focus, as somebody who has ADHD or attention problems. And I'm sure other people can relate to this. Without being confined or without feeling like your back's up against the wall, one tends to procrastinate. It's hard to manage yourself. I'm sure actually most people can relate to this, but it's hard to manage yourself when you have nothing but time. But when you're stressed or when, like this is it, that's kind of when you're able to focus. So at like the final hour, I was able to pull my grades together and get into, a decent college. So nothing, I'm giving you so much background. Nothing, I didn't have any addiction or drinking issues until, end of college, after college. I'm the only addict or alcoholic, any person who has substance issues in my immediate family. So it wasn't something that I was cognizant of or looking, looking for. College was fine as far as drinking went. I did drink quite a bit, but there were people who drank way more. And when you're kind of in that environment where, people are binge drinking and people are indulging in various ways, it creates a context in which you don't feel like you're any, it's any worse than anyone else. It doesn't seem like it's raising any flags at that time. To backtrack a little bit, when I was younger, when I was 16, before college, 2 years before college, I found out that my father had early onset Parkinson's. I found out at 16 because I started to notice symptoms, and I finally asked what's going on, and he told me. He was diagnosed. So I found out when I was 16, but he was diagnosed probably when I was 3 or 4. So he was 42-ish. He had early onset Parkinson's. And yeah, so we kind of had to keep that private. My sister didn't know until a few years later after me. And for business reasons, my dad owned his own business. There were a variety of reasons, not all of them healthy, or none of them frankly healthy, but some of them based in the reality of like the world in which we live, like that mentality of, it's just business. For him is like people could. If you told people that somebody that this business prospect is sick, maybe the your humanity would suggest like concern or whatever, but your concerns about what that means financially or your business or whatever, you would. Anyway, I don't need to explain this, but so they just they my mom, my dad felt like it was best to kind of not be public about that. So anyway, going back, went to college, and as I was going to college, when you're with somebody who is sick or whatever, you and you're but you're like see that every day. You don't notice as much the gradual change. You kind of have to stop yourself eventually and then be like, wow, things have really changed. But since I was going away to college and not seeing him often, every time I would go back, the change would be noticeable in just how in how the disease was progressing. So he, as I went to college and when I finally came back, things kind of got worse and he wasn't able to deal with the business anymore and they had to close and, financially things were kind of a ruin. Cars being repossessed, just no savings, in debt, potential the threat of a lien on our house, you know, our home being taken away. And it was a terrible situation. It was a toxic situation, in which you know, my you know, my mom and myself, because at this point I had graduated from college and I had just come home because I decided I wanted to, I went to school to become a filmmaker. And obviously when, you know, when you graduate from that, there's going to be a buffer period of trying to figure out the financial logistics, of doing that. So needless to, so anyway, I, after college, I moved back home. So, you know, it's my sister at this point is in college, so it's the three of us, my mom, my dad, and myself in our house. And you know, it's just a toxic situation, in which you know, no one is 100% at fault. And it's but it's hard to be able to distinguish between being angry at the circumstances and being angry at each other. And it became it just became impossible to deal with it. I kind of was shutting down and becoming agoraphobic. Or just I don't know if I could say it was clinically agoraphobic. But I just had it was just I couldn't leave my room. It became really bad. And so during this point, you know, my dad over the next year or so started to attempt to take his own life. So that was it was very difficult, and I would, you know, have to go find him in certain situations and bring him back home, or, you know, if the police got involved, he would have to, you know, go to the psych ward, for whatever the holding period was. It was very difficult. I mean, it was impossible. So, eventually, I, you know, I moved back home, or I'm sorry, I'm losing my train of thought. Eventually, I moved out of home, and after like a year and a half, work started to pick up for me, and I was able to, you know, make a living, and I moved into New York. And after about 6 months of moving into New York, my father finally, you know, was successful in an attempt, and he passed away. And yeah, it was awful. It was we kind of all knew where it was going, but it was awful. And yeah, so it's weird. It's going to be this year. This July, it's going to be 10 years. And yeah, it's very strange because it still seems very fresh. So anyway, I you know, I'm sorry that I'm all over the place, but so a year and a half prior to my father doing that, when I first came home, I was diagnosed, as I've mentioned already or referred to already, with ADHD, and was given, you know, medication for that, stimulant medication. And even though I wasn't functioning and I wasn't able to leave the house or whatever, it numbed me and it allowed me to function in some small capacity. And when I left, you know, my parents' home, it just became something that I was on 24/7. I mean, I would be sleeping, but I couldn't go to sleep without being on something, which seems insane. But I, for the stress or whatever was going on in my head, having a little bit of focus from something actually made it possible for me to sleep instead of my mind being all over the place. And because I worked in film or whatever, I with my psychiatrist, I had initially this what there was a legitimate concern, but then I just extended that to the rest of my life, where I said I was working on a show and it would easily go into 16, 17, 18-hour days. And so I needed two long acting, a one day thing wasn't enough. I needed something because I would come down from that stuff and I'd still be working. And so I had started having a script that would two scripts that would last me from the second I woke up to the second I went to sleep. And that just kind of became the standard in which I used the medication. And it was fine for a while. But it was great. My doses were gradually going up, and I really could not be off, off them for any period of time. Anyway, as this is going on, my use of medication keeps going up and up and up, and my ambition and my responsibility to any work or any kind of semblance of a normal life was go down. And I mean, to cut it short, just after a few years or whatever, it just became in a place where I had burned too many bridges. I had lost, burned through money that I had made. I was miserable and empty, and not processing anything emotionally, not dealing with my dad's stuff, not dealing with all the stuff prior to my dad's stuff. I don't see my dad's thing as a reason why I used or whatever. As I said in the beginning, I always felt totally uncomfortable. But maybe it did get things. Maybe it exacerbate things or get things going. I think I would always be in this place no matter what. But maybe things came to a head earlier because of it. Yeah, so I had to, I couldn't afford my apartment, I whatever, so I went back home. And was with my mom, and I went to a my mom at this point coincidentally was in an accident. She's fine now, but she fell down some stairs and she broke a lot of bones, and she needed to go inpatient. She was in a facility for physical therapy, physical rehabilitation. And one day as I'm leaving her room and heading home, I'm going down the corridor of this facility, and this is after a few weeks of moving back. I look inside a room and I see what I now know is like a percolator, and I see people holding coffee and talking and laughing. As I continue to walk, I'm like, oh, I bet it's like one of those like AA things or 12-step things. Because again, I only have a context of, from cultural understanding. It's not in my family, so I was just like, oh, I bet it's that. And so I Google search and figure out that yeah, oh, that is a meeting. But it has nothing to do with me. Just interesting that I was able to spot that. And I don't really know when. Maybe it was a week or two later. I think just out of maybe boredom, being lost or whatever, I decided that I was going to go to that thing and check it out. But I didn't necessarily, I didn't identify as, I just identified as somebody who was lost and didn't know what to do. And I went into that meeting, and there were like six other people there. They were all much older than me. And they gave me, little meeting booklet, and on the back had some names on it. And they were very nice. And what they were saying and what I was hearing, I was relating to. And I was like, oh, good. I think I'll give it a shot. Not a shot as far as in a traditional sense of getting a sponsor or going to doing a 90 and 90 or going to multiple meetings. I didn't even know that was a thing or whatever, but I'll give it a shot of going to more meetings. And so, and this is back in 2016. And so I went to, over the next year, I started getting more involved, in the program, traditional program. Because frankly, I didn't know there was anything else. What I found out later, maybe just after that year, was I was looking for other programs, but it seemed like the, and this is prior to Zoom or anything, but it seemed like the other programs that may theoretically, I may relate to more, didn't have as an extensive network, didn't have as many meetings. The accessibility and the options was kind of the not the intellectual accessibility, but the literal accessibility, or the physical accessibility, of these meetings, made it attractive or just practical, for me. So anyway, I got a sponsor, started going through the big book, started doing steps, and yeah, I didn't grow up in a religious household, so I identified with agnostic or being secular environments, but I wasn't angry or frustrated with traditional communities. It was a lot of working backwards because I just didn't understand. I understood what the God thing was and the higher power thing is. At this point, I was really into, for a few years now, into meditation and searching through spiritual avenues or whatever, or getting outside of oneself. But it was always very difficult to try to, yeah, like work backwards from the 12 steps rather than like, or any thing of like letting go or let go, let God, or whatever. Like, whereas people can say that to each other and it's a little bit of a shorthand to try to like, acknowledge what's going on or be helpful. It's just something that just didn't naturally resonate for me. So for a longest time, I would just be like, okay, and like try to figure out where they're coming from. Anyway, I'm sorry, this is so convoluted. Anyway, so I had this big support network. I had over this year, I had, it was nice. It was nice. I did fellowship. I was connected. But it was time for me to, move back to New York and start to, get my, have a somewhat of a normal life. And I moved back into my apartment. I had sublet my apartment the entire year. And I moved back and I just didn't, I didn't put in the work to try to find a new community. I didn't go to meetings. I got lost in my work. I just became a workaholic. And because of that, even though I was sober, my well-being, I was in some ways I was worse than prior to getting sober. I was isolated. Yeah, it got pretty bad. And so eventually, I couldn't deal with the job anymore. I left the job. I moved out of New York and into Jersey City, which is just across the river. And yeah, there was about a year of sobriety, but like just isolation, loneliness, confusion, little jobs here and there to try to just get me by. But I wasn't functioning as a, I wasn't functioning. And eventually, I found this meeting space in Jersey City called the Barrow Mansion, which is where all my, the majority of my in-person meetings are. It's like a clubhouse here. And yeah, it really, I was finally had another, community and connection with people. So where do I want to go with this? So, I things were starting to get better, and work was starting to pick up, and I was doing a lot of service and, being, fellowship and service and all those things. And work was starting to pick up, and I, for whatever reason, was able to trick myself into thinking that I could go back to, using stimulant medication. And that I needed to in order to function. And almost immediately, I was going through month supplies in like 6 days. And the deeper I would get in my dependency for this stuff and not being honest and telling people what was going on, the more I felt I couldn't come forward because I betrayed my friends. I was in a relationship with somebody in the program. I was like, if I come forward and be honest, like my girlfriend will leave me and my friends will be so angry at me that I've been just like, being this imposter, this person who is pretending to be sober. Yeah, it was like a few five or 6 months of me trying to like get off this stuff or figure out a way of not doing it, and I just couldn't do it until one day I just was completely exhausted and just broke down and told my sponsor, and I have a roommate who's in the program too. I told him as well, and came forward to my girlfriend, and everyone kind of rallied around me. And my girlfriend, I called my girlfriend up and told her, and she was like, "Where are you?" And I was like, "I'm home." And she's like, "I'm coming over right now." And she came down, and there was a meeting in 30 minutes, and we went to the meeting, and yeah, it was amazing. It was difficult, but it was amazing how, everyone kind of showed up. It was really there for me. So now I'm coming up on 9 months. I had, 4.5 years and coming up on 9 months. But the great thing is, even though, my day count or my time has changed, I still hold all the knowledge and understanding that I had prior to restarting my account, which is very helpful and is kind of thing like one of the first things my sponsor said to me when I spoke to him on the phone and told him, what had happened or the truth, what was going on. Just to wrap it up and kind of how I got involved in secular world, as I said, I wasn't really aware of secular meetings or I didn't have, I was always working backwards and trying to understand how to make the program work for me and felt disconnected in a certain sense. But yeah, it wasn't something that I just, whatever reason, I was just like, maybe it's something wrong with me. Maybe, it seems like all these other people are like having this connection and like laughing at the right moments and nodding their heads at the right moments. And it seems like there's like this, understanding amongst them. It must be my inability to like be present or listen or whatever. And until, I was invited to, start going to some secular meetings. And, this is about a year, a little over a year ago. And I got to start seeing different types of recovery. And I also, I think what really kickstarted, so like prior to getting honest about my relapse, I was, exposed to different 12-step things, different types of recovery, secular recovery. But when I came forward about what was going on, what was really going on, and now had to get humble and honest, I was like, I don't want to continue going through this life and acting as if, or just putting on this facade of like I'm doing better, my recovery is doing better, or whatever. It's like I'm getting sick and fucking tired of just doing the same fucking, I'm sure I could get away with this language, but I'll calm down. About just like, I don't want to be going through the motions the rest of my fucking life. I want to get better. I can't. It's like I was doing this for 4.5 years and things were better when I put in the work, but there's more out there. There's more out there, and there has to be more out there. And yeah, I don't want to waste my life. I don't want to waste my life. And so now being no now having being presented with new resources, new possibilities, new things like these meetings and other resources, utilities, and being like, I got to do something different this time. I started looking elsewhere. I started looking different recovery programs. I started looking for different. I started curating specifically fellowship. I think it's important to be there for other people in service. But as far as like what makes sense for my health and my well-being, not everything is equal. And I started putting myself with people that I felt comfortable and healthy around. I didn't want to continue to seek out people who, whatever, who I was attracted to because I felt like shit, or whatever the pull would be that like would attract me to certain people that was unhealthy, and be okay when I feel uncomfortable in certain situations, and say like, that's not for me. I don't have to warp myself in order to fit this mold. And so yeah, and so while I have been mentioning to people in my life personally that I need to do this, I do need to do this. I think therapy will be a big thing, that I definitely need to be continue to do. Being of service, being connected with people, a daily meditation practice for me, I try to exercise almost every day. I try to be open and really not shut down when I hear constructive criticism or whatever. I a lot of times we just had Thanksgiving, and holidays are very difficult for people, and this Thanksgiving wasn't the worst Thanksgiving, but it wasn't a great experience. And I had this narrative of what happened and how it was like I was put in this situation, and it was, all one way thing of like poor me and poor my girlfriend was with me and poor us, and we were on eggshells, and it wasn't like, and I had nothing to do with it. And it was a bad situation, but in hindsight, hearing back from my sister, so I had this narrative going in my head for like 4 or 5 days, and then I finally spoke to my sister, and she was like, and my sister and I are on the same page now. We're very close, and we see our mom in the same way. She's not one of us, but she has been she's does a lot of work for herself, and she's very, very responsible and healthy in how she takes care of herself. And she was like, yeah, but you came in like from the jump, like just shut down and anticipating like that it was going to go to shit. Like, so even though I feel justified in my trauma or my anticipation of whatever, it's like, I'm so caught up in myself. I don't even realize what I'm bringing to things sometimes. That was difficult to hear. And sometimes in those moments, it's hard to engage in that conversation. Like, you hear that and you feel like I should be saying something, I should be processing something. But like, for me, sometimes it takes till after that phone conversation, till after I have some time with myself to really let it sink in and realize like what I'm doing. And so that happened. Those things like that happen with me constantly. I'm really, it's hard. I can't become a different per I can't immediately become a different person. I have these lifelong coping mechanisms and habits. But if I don't completely shut down, if I don't reject, I can slowly work on these things, which I'm trying to do. But anyway, I know that there's no time limit on this, but I don't think I've ever qualified for this long. And I hope this was somewhat coherent. But yeah, it's having, whether it's secular or anything else, just having being responsible, holding myself to a certain standard, being able to be honest with myself of what my intentions are or what I'm looking for, but not being confined to certain dogma or understanding of, I find that there is utility and in traditional stuff, but it doesn't have to be my everything, and it's not my everything. It can't be my everything. And I'm always searching, and I'm always looking for, if there are things that scientifically come out and people say like this has X amount of a success rate or whatever like that, I'm gonna try that freaking thing. I want to be I just I want to continue. I have lived my life in too much pain, and I don't want to do it anymore. So anyway, yeah, that's all I got. Thank you for listening to me, and thanks for having me.